I was like, what in the world? In 1909, it was discovered. Does anyone have an idea? Does anyone ever hear of Robert F. Kennedy? Huh? An admiral. He was a Navy, an admiral in the Navy, or he was a lieutenant, or, you know, high rank in the Navy. So he was actually, so this guy, Robert Edwin Perry, was born in Pennsylvania. So it's a little bit of Pennsylvania history. But then his father died and then they moved to Maine. So when they were in Maine, he became interested in, you know, obviously the sea and the naval type of, endeavors. And then he became a commander, but he discovered the North Pole in 1909. You know, it's not that long ago. You know, you think about, like, when you think about, like, Lewis and Clark and they pushed the frontier, but so in 1909 is that's when they got to the North Pole and they discovered the North Pole. And I think, so as he went, his wife made him this flag. So as he went on his, adventures, discoveries, expeditions into the North, like he was really big up into the North cold regions, and he would take parts of his flag and cut it off and leave it where he went. And they've actually found parts of his flag, and they would bring them back and they stitched it back into the flag. And his flag that his wife made is actually down in, it hangs in the, one of the societies in DC, the Geological Society or something down in DC. Not that I ever saw it, but I thought that was very interesting. So, that's Robert Perry. So, which took me then to some jokes about the North Pole. Since we're, you know, coming into, we're in spring. So what is the biggest party called in the North Pole? The snowball. Come on, Esther. You gotta like that one. Yeah. What do you get when you cross a snowman with a vampire? Frostbite. I like that one too. And then what is Polar Bear's favorite drink? It's Coca-Cola. Yeah, I know. Everyone loves those jokes. So, and then for our joke of the day, I know this might not make any sense, but I dedicated myself all year to do one of these. So if you like it or not, every Sunday, you're getting a UK dad joke. Most people are shocked when they find out how bad an electrician I am. Get it? Yeah. That was actually a good one for the UK. It's shocking. Well, let's just open up the prayer as we start. Heavenly Father, we thank you for, Lord, thank you for people that are adventurers and go out and discover things and all the amazing things that have been discovered in the North Pole. And Lord, we know there's a great, up in the northern regions, still a lot of lost people. And actually, Lord, now that I think of Alaska and I think of the missionaries that we support in Alaska and I think of the family that just lost their husband but still in ministry there. What's their name? Lamb? Flam. Lord, we pray for the Flams right now. We just pray for that ministry as they work in the north, with people in the outback and everything else that's up there. Lord, we just, this morning we pray for them, Lord. We pray for them as they're ministering and we pray for, as they plant seeds, we pray for a harvest and we pray, Lord, with the death of their father and husband, that you will continue to be alongside them and they know you're with them. In your name we pray, amen. All right, so last week when we had Paul here, he was very blessed. Yeah, I will say that with the church. So he loved being here. He's new to the ministry there and he had great things to say about everybody in here of how much of encouragement we really were to him. So and his family. But last time we looked at Acts, we stopped in Acts where Paul lost his sight. So that's where we kind of stopped when Paul, you know, what I called repurposing of Paul, that beginning to repurpose. And we stopped in Acts and he lost his sight. So this morning we're picking up from there, Acts chapter 9. We're going to start in 10. Remember now, we stopped and Paul was blind. So we're going to read 10 through 19 again. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.' Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately something like scales fell off from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. He regained his strength." When I started to pull this apart, the title of the message is Rise Above the News, right? When I started to pull this apart, I really wanted to focus in on Ananias here. Because Ananias, first, rise above. What does rise above mean? Like, what happens when you rise above something? The definition in the dictionary says not to be affected by something negative, overcome difficulty, not to allow yourself to be hurt or controlled by someone or something, as in reports or news. Not to be controlled by something or be scared by fear of something, to rise above something that might have happened negatively, something that might be a bad report, something bad news, to rise above that, right? That's what Ananias is doing here. And which I thought was, when I looked at this, and you think about Ananias. So first off, he was a disciple. And about disciples, and this little past in the first kind of chapters of Acts, we look at, you know, we hit Stephen, Philip, we get into now Paul, and then we find Ananias, which we don't have a whole lot of information about Ananias. But here is this guy who's in Damascus that all of a sudden the Lord comes to him and says, "Ananias," and he to get these instructions. Yeah, when Ananias had the vision, he was probably aware that a lot of times the Lord would speak to men and women while they were there, and they would have a vision. And so most likely Ananias, and I could be wrong, it doesn't say he was in prayer, but he said the Lord came to him in a vision. So just kind of like Peter, the Lord came to Peter when he was in a vision. You remember when he was up on the roof praying? And many times the Lord will show himself to people in a vision while they're praying. And we could get sidetracked and not sidetracked, but then we could really go off to on ourselves and say, "Yeah, how often are we praying? Yeah, how often am I praying, especially in today's society where we are bombarded. Every time we sit down, you know, or it's like you sit down, what's going on in the news? You know, what's the weather? What's the sports or anything? We're on our phone all the time. A lot of us are. Or we check our computers. You know, we're computers. Or we have other stuff that's going on. And we get busy and we fill ourselves. And how often are we spending time that we should in prayer? Like, we don't even really have time. Like, I don't know how long it takes to pray to get a vision, right? Because honestly, how often have we spent a consistent maybe 1, 2, 3 hours in prayer? Godly men of old have spent huge amount of prayer time just quiet and listen and pray. And I think that's a discipline that I know I don't have. I'm ashamed to say it, because, you know, that's how the Lord speaks to us. We have to spend time in prayer and we pray continually. And I feel like a lot of times, you know, we pray on the run. Which I'm not saying that's bad either, but this time of prayer that Ananias was in, he was a disciple. And as we look at these godly men that kind of are in the beginning of a disciple of Jesus Christ, who is in prayer, and all of a sudden, boom, he had a vision. And the Lord spoke to him. And he could hear the Lord because he was concentrated. His spirit was with the spirit. He was in the spirit, right? So just like when we talked about Philip, who is filled with the Spirit, Stephen filled with the Spirit, Ananias here, it doesn't say he's filled with the Spirit, but obviously when you read into it, he was filled with the Spirit because Jesus came to him. The Spirit came to him. And then as he came to him, he listened and he heard. And as he listened and he heard, he was given instructions. And as he was given these instructions, you know, think about that. He was given these instructions. Thanks for getting this, Roger, because I really need it this morning. As he was given instructions, he listened to these instructions. There were specific instructions. And what were they? The instructions were, go, where do I need to go? Go to Judas' house on Straight Street. And evidently in Damascus, there's this long street and it's straight. And it's still there. And so they think that street was the street they were talking about. Straight Street. So GPS, once again, the GPS from heaven was telling people where to go and what to do. And we see it in the beginning of Acts. So maybe at the beginning of the church is when GPS really started to kick in, because we saw it with Philip and now we're seeing it here with Ananias. These instructions. Go and ask for who? Go and ask for Saul. And then he was told that Saul had seen a vision that Ananias was coming to him to give his sight back. Now you think about that, and I think about this. The connection that God and Ananias had. So Ananias was connected with God. He was living filled with the Spirit as a disciple. Because if you think about this, God already told Saul that this guy, before he told Ananias, he told Saul that in a vision that this man, Ananias, was going to come to him. We have free will, right? Did God know for sure, which we know God knew for sure, that Ananias would do this, but Why did God know that this man, Ananias, without a doubt, would go to this man? And that was foretold. Obviously, we know God knows everything, right? But Ananias loved the Lord, and as a disciple and a follower of Christ in Damascus, even with the reports, even with the question that Ananias asked the Lord, he said, Lord, I've heard the reports of this man. I heard the news of who this man was, and he had a question on, do you know who this guy is, Lord? Valid question, right? Valid question, because the reports at the time, the reports of Saul weren't too good. Think about this. Reports today. What kind of reports? And I've taken reports just from the beginning of the year. Some of the news reports in the Christian world of what Christians are facing in the Christian world. So on April 2025, there was a report that came out that Livia Tosica Bolt, a 64-year-old woman in the UK. Did you hear that about this? So this 64-year-old woman in the UK was standing out front an abortion clinic, holding a sign, peacefully, not making any problems. Now, this is the day that she was arrested and of breaking the law. So, happened towards the end of last year. But she was just sitting there, 64-year-old lady, who loved people, holding a sign peacefully that said, here to talk if you want. Holding a sign. In the United Kingdom. Holding a sign that says, I'm here to talk if you want. And people were talking to her. People would come up and talk to her. But you know what? Hey, you're in front of, near an abortion clinic. Even in the UK. And this is one of the reasons why our vice president kind of slammed the UK of freedom of speech, because here was a woman who was just out there to pray with people, help people, and talk with questions. She wasn't even being, you know, an advocate of anything. She was just there to talk and help people. Boom, arrested, found guilty on April 4th. April 3rd, Savannah Gavin Anteo, a woman in New York. Did you hear about that? This happened this week. This lady, she was in New York giving an interview, and she's pro-life, and they were interviewing someone that was anti-life, pro-abortion. And as they were interviewing, the person that she was interviewing punched her in the face. It's where they have it on video. She went down, all over. She went to the hospital. New York City. The reports, the news, if you're a believer, if you hold to life, all of a sudden, bam, a persecution is taking place. April 3rd, this 2025, April 3rd, a priest was shot and killed in Kansas City. Just this week. Why? He was shot and killed. A man came from Oklahoma, went to the Catholic Church there. This the pastor at the priest evidently loved the Lord, has been there a long time, and he, boom, shot him. April 3rd. March 31st, 2025, two nuns in Haiti were killed by gang members. They were hunted down for being Christians. Two nuns killed in Haiti, murdered. Poof. That's the reports. February 24th, 70 Christians in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, and this is past what we talked about the other week, this happened in February 24th of this year, 70 Christians were gathered in the Congo by the group of people, got them out of their house, and herded them into a church. And the people that herded the 70 people into the church then locked the doors and continued then to murder them with machetes and hammers. Why? Because they were Christians. That's the reports. That's the news of our day that's happening to Christians. So Ananias, at this time, were some of the reports, the news that he was getting, was it similar to God? Saul is a guy here that's coming after us. He's coming after people like me that love you, and you want me to go to this man? And then think about this. So that was his question. Valid question. And he wasn't criticized for that question because honestly, what was going on here? He was actually in fact using a very scriptural practice that we're told to do as well. 1 John 4, I'm going to read this quick. 1 John 4:1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So Ananias simply questioned this vision and questioned the spirit and was given instruction on, yes, this is what you must do. He wasn't criticized, he wasn't downplayed, he wasn't scolded for questioning God at this point. Why? Because the reports about Saul, the news about Saul of the day was that he was a murderer, that he was coming after all Christians to imprison them. And if you're a Christian, watch out for Saul. That's the reports. That was the news. Stay away. So Ananias now is confronted with a decision because God gave him instructions on what to do. And then so his mind goes, and think about this. So as he is going now, Ananias, who is in full faith, trust in the Lord, walking to do the job that was given him, as he walked that way, think about what was in his mind. Because Saul, his whole world was what? Saul's whole world group, his friend group, the people he associated with, were maybe probably at Judas's house on Straight Street, because one of their top leaders that was criticizing and chasing down Christians, now is blind, is in this house. So what's the friend group there that's with Paul, with Saul? It was probably the same type of people, Paul. So here's Ananias walking into who knows what, because Saul's whole world was around people that was also the same news and reports that they got from Saul. That's who his people were. Let's get these Christians, let's have them destroyed. Let's imprison them. Let's get them killed. What doesn't matter? Let's get them out of here. Ananias, walking up to Judas's house, knowing the news of Saul, had to rise above what he knew the reports were of. He had to rise above the current news of the day and had to walk in faith, knowing that God was in charge, knowing full well that he could be the next Stephen. He could be the next dead guy, next dead Christian out there. But Ananias trusted the Lord. He was a man that had this vision, who was filled with the Spirit, who tested the Spirit, right? And asked, what should I do this? Is this like what I'm supposed to do? And as he was given instruction, yes, he did not let the reports of who Saul were to stop him from doing his calling from God, knowing full well this might be the last door you knock on, buddy. I mean, it could because it was in the room. And then you think, the people are involved. What happened? Doesn't explain that. What happened to those other guys? But that, where were they spiritually? Did they come to an understanding of who Christ was as the Messiah? We don't know where that happened, but we do know that Ananias didn't have the fear stop him. I'm sure he was fearful as he walked up to Judas's house on Straight Street to knock on the door. But he said, "Yes, Lord, I will rise above those reports. I will rise above the news that I hear. I'll rise above the fear that I have. And I'm going to knock on this door because that's what you told me to do. I don't know why. I don't know why you want to save this man, but I will do what you tell me to do." And he continued to walk that way. Ananias, the disciple of Jesus Christ, who had the vision to do that, and followed the instruction that he was given. So then he goes in, and Ananias, not only did he go in and say, "Okay, hey, I'm here for Saul." Saul already saw that he was coming. Okay, so he already saw that he was coming in because he had the vision. So that's where I look at that. It's like God gave Saul the vision first. Then he came to Ananias. God already knew Ananias would do this. Why? Because he knew the quality of person that Ananias was. He knew that he was a disciple who loved him, that he was going to follow him. And yeah, he might question because of the reports of the day. And he was given an answer and he walked into the unknown of what's behind the door. I don't know. And then Saul obviously comes to the door. Well, did he come to the door? I don't know if he came to the door, but what we do know is Ananias and Saul met. Who else was in the house? I don't know who else was in there, but it was probably a group of people that also didn't really prefer the dirty Christians. But Ananias continued to walk and walk through that door. As promised, this. I also think that right away, Ananias didn't kind of go in and it's like, "I'm here for Saul." Right away he goes in, and what does he call him? He calls him other Saul. And he already was showing Christian love of this brother who was chasing down Christians a few days before. And Ananias, filled with the Spirit, walks in and calls him brother. And we also know that the instructions that he was given is to lay his hands on him. Oftentimes I think, I don't know about you, but maybe I think about it because what Jesus did when he healed the blind man, right? I always thought like Ananias would come in and put his hands on his eyes, you know, and it doesn't say that he did that. It just says he put his hand on him. That's what God told Saul was going to happen, that this man was going to come in, put his hands on him, and he was going to heal him. And that's exactly what happened. So Ananias comes into Saul, following the Lord, walked away from the bad news reports, or the true news reports, knowing who was there, knowing how he hated Christians, walked into the situation because Ananias was filled with the Spirit that loved the Lord. God already knew this man's personality, this man's love for him, that he would walk forward and do this. Would we do the same? Why did God come to Ananias? Why not somebody else? Why was this Ananias? why wasn't this Judas on Straight Street that God came to? He came to Ananias. Why wasn't it another guy? Why? Because God knew Ananias. Because Ananias spent time with God. Ananias would pray with God in the Spirit. Ananias would listen to what God told him to do. My question for me, for us, when is the last time we heard the Spirit talk to us? In a vision? Through our reading of Scripture? Many times we can read Scripture and have our devotions. A lot of times we burn through our devotions just so we had devotion. But we're talking some serious people who are seriously committed about their spiritual life. Am I there? Would God come to me as he came to Ananias? Would he come to you like he came to Ananias? God and Ananias were on a level that they knew each other. They knew each other. That's why God gave Ananias this job and told Saul that he was coming before he ever even told Ananias. Because God already knew who Ananias was. When's the last time that happened to me? Lord, and spending my time in prayer. And you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes when you spend time in prayer or you spend time in worship and you can break away from all the stuff and you can concentrate on who God is and pour out your heart to him. Just not asking for stuff. You know, many times we just pour out and we ask for the genie stuff, right? But I'm just saying, just Lord, thank you for who you are. Lord, you are my creator. You are amazing. And just concentrate on who Jesus is and what he did. That's what Ananias was all about. He was in the Spirit. And as he's given that job to do, he goes to the place, to Saul. For Saul, I'm here because I have a purpose. And you might kill me, I don't know, but I'm told I need to put my hands on you, and I need to pray that you're coming back to for your sight. And guess what happened? He comes back with his sight, and not only the sight, but God gives the authority from God to Ananias to give him the Holy Spirit that came through Ananias from God himself, from the Spirit, because God knew Ananias. Does God know me like that? Does he know you like that? To write of the news, or the news that we heard, Christians are being persecuted. We don't want to say something at our school. We don't want to say something in our workplace. We don't want to help this type of person out or help that type of person out because it's not that, you know, we might offend somebody or it's, you know, someone might look at us and criticize us or they might put us in jail. They might hurt us somehow. They might come to me like that priest in Canada last week and put a bullet into me. That's the news. That's the reports we have today. Ananias had the report, the news of that day of Saul was coming after you. And it didn't stop. He listened to the Lord. So I guess my question as we end, are we hearing? We talked about this before. Are we hearing, and myself included, when I say we, it's a ball of wax. Are we hearing and listening to what God wants us to do? And that means we need to listen. We need to spend time with him, just like Ananias spent time with God. Are we there? Are we there? Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, you know we are very busy. Sometimes I don't even know what we're busy with. We're busy with the things that creep into our life that have to be taken care of in our modern society. And so many times we just keep running, and we don't step back and we don't have our true spiritual time that we need with you to listen, to obey, to concentrate on just the glory that who you are and the majesty of how you are and the creation that you have created and the salvation that you have given us, Lord. So many times you just run. Lord, I thank you for Ananias in this story and his willingness to just not be scared to step into the unknown of what in the world is going to happen here. But he just was willing to listen to you and to step into the unknown because you told him to do it. You gave him instruction. Lord, I pray this week, just help us one little step this week to help us to remember that the time that we need to spend with you in our prayer life, in our quiet time, so that we can hear you. I pray for that, Lord. I pray for that for me. I pray for that for the church. I pray, Lord, also then that we will continue to reach lost people and try to communicate the gospel clearly to others. We just thank you for this time that we can be together. Lord, we thank you for your salvation. We thank you for the example Ananias has given to us to follow you. And help us just to take a little piece of that today into our life, that we can be even somewhat like that, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. As we leave, Good Friday's coming up, and we're dismissed. But as we go, I'm just calling out, Good Friday's coming. And let's remind people what Good Friday means. Simple. Hey, it's Good Friday. Yep. Do you know why we have Good Friday? Do you know that Jesus Christ was crucified today on Good, or, you know, that week, crucified for us, that we can have salvation? And that's a great, great opening into the gospel. So, coffee and something, cookies. If I say donuts, it's whatever's back there. Coffee and donuts, even though they're cookies.